Chapter 1, Mobilization or Manipulation. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verses from memory, define manipulation, define mobilize, explain the difference between spiritual mobilization and manipulation, explain the difference between a passive and a mobilized person, summarize the relationship between mobilization and evangelism. Key verses, Matthew 20, 25, and 26. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Introduction. It has been said that the successful expansion of any movement is in direct proportion to its ability to mobilize and involve its total membership in constant propagation of its beliefs, purposes, and philosophy. If a goal is to be achieved and a vision fulfilled, you must take action. If you work only with plans and programs, you have an organization. If you mobilize people, you have an organism, and each person in that organism becomes part of the achievement of the vision. Outward mobilization is the result of inward motivation. Everyone is motivated to do something. An important key in effective ministry is to motivate and mobilize God's people for the work of the ministry. Manipulation. Worldly strategies of mobilization center on manipulation of people for the purpose of selfish gain. To manipulate means to skillfully manage, direct, or control a person to achieve selfish purposes. A manipulator exploits and uses others as things to achieve an end. In manipulation, attempts to mobilize people are centered on things that appeal to the flesh. A person is convinced that certain actions will meet his own selfish goals, needs, or desires. He thrives on praise and attention from others. He strives for status and a sense of belonging. Financial or material gain is often involved. These are some of the inward motivations which mobilize him to action. Manipulation is need-based. The leader sees a need and manipulates people and resources to meet that need. If you are need-motivated, you soon become need-controlled. People will control and manipulate you to meet their personal needs. Basically, there are two types of manipulation. One is push manipulation, which uses fear as its force. The other is pull motivation, which uses fleshly incentive and rewards. When believers have to be pushed or pulled into involvement in the work of the kingdom of God, it is obvious something is wrong. In manipulation, people are often treated with partiality, and sometimes leaders resort to threatening, guilt, and force to get things done. But the Bible warns spiritual leaders to forbear or not to use. Ephesians 6:9, threatening, knowing that your master, God, which also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. In other words, you should relate to those you lead in the same way God relates to you. Witchcraft is listed in Galatians 5:20 as one of the works of the flesh. In this passage, witchcraft not only refers to the evil work done by witches who are followers of Satan, it also refers to fleshly manipulation of other people for your own purposes and desires. Jesus taught that believers are not to adopt such worldly methods of conduct and leadership. Matthew 20, 25 and 26. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Mobilization. Believers are not to be manipulated or become manipulators, but they certainly are to be mobilized. God has always moved through people who were motivated to action. Throughout the biblical record, he called people to mobilize physical, spiritual, and financial resources to accomplish his plans and purposes. To mobilize means to put in a state of readiness for active service, to use one's energies for action. In broad terms, mobilization refers to any event by which God's people are awakened and kept moving and growing until they find their place of strategic involvement in the task of completing world evangelism. Spiritual mobilization differs from manipulation because it is grounded in biblical principles and the motivation is focused on God rather than man. It is not focused on flesh and self. It is not need-oriented ministry, but command-oriented. For example, when Jesus visited the pool of Bethsaida, there were many people there who were lame, sick, and diseased, but Jesus healed only one man. He was command-oriented rather than need-oriented. This did not mean that he did not have compassion on the others, but he had been led by God to minister to this one man. If you become need-oriented in ministry, you will soon be overwhelmed by the many needs around you. Eventually, you will become need-controlled. The needs of the people will control your life and ministry. You will be manipulated by them, and you will become a manipulator in order to meet the great demands of these needs. If you are command-oriented rather than need-oriented, your ministry is God-directed instead of man-directed. You will be motivated and mobilized by the power of God rather than the manipulation of men and their needs. The passive and the mobilized. The opposite of being mobilized is being passive. It is important to know the difference between the two if you are to motivate inactive believers. A passive person. To be passive means to be unconcerned, inactive, unresponsive, indifferent, unemotional, or unfeeling. Here are some common reasons why people are passive. When they are inactive, indifferent, and not involved in the work of the Lord, they are not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They have not grasped the meaning of the Great Commission. They do not know their place in the body of Christ. They have no goals, vision, and direction. They lack singleness of vision. They see so much to do and have no clear vision of their role, so they are discouraged and do not do anything. They are consumed by the cares and involvements of the world. They are afraid their willingness to become involved will be taken advantage of by others. Authoritarian leadership that does everything prevents their involvement. This is a personality-based ministry instead of a body ministry involving all members in the work of the Lord. The pastor or spiritual leader is not to do the work himself. He is to equip or mobilize the body for the work of the ministry. They live in the past. The Bible warns, remember Lot's wife. Looking back to the good old days or how things were done before prevents action in the present. They are walking in the flesh. When a person walks in the flesh, they cannot accomplish spiritual goals. The flesh prevents you from doing that which you should do. See Romans 7:15. Frustration, division, and unresolved conflicts are all signs that a person is walking in the flesh. These and similar behaviors will render people inactive in the kingdom of God. Sin prohibits the flow of God's anointing, His fire, glory, and revival. Since these are the mobilizing spiritual forces, a believer who continues in sin will soon lose his motivation. Discouragement causes passivity. A discouraged person is close-minded, has a need for power, control, and to get his own way. He avoids personal responsibility, blames others for problems, and wants to retaliate. He is unstable and disloyal. A professional attitude. This is a problem that often renders people inactive in the modern church age. This professional attitude is one that says, "Let's hire it done." a passive people. Passive individuals result in a passive people corporately. Basically, the passive church fits the description of the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:1. They have a name that they live, but they are dead. Here is a checklist for a passive church. How does your church measure up? Physical care of church facilities is below average and conveys an I don't care attitude. There is a heavy dependence on the pastor or paid staff to do the work of the ministry. There is a strong orientation to the past, believing that the good old days were better than the present time. There is declining membership. There are many inactive members. The focus is on music, children, and youth, while the adults remain inactive. Economy is more important in decision-making than steps of faith. Communication is poor between members, pastor, and staff. A lack of attendance reveals a low level of concern. There is no evangelical fervor. Policy makers and aggressive members are largely from the people who were members when the congregation started, or from the good old days. The minister views his ministry as in the past rather than the future. The congregation is convinced that if they can find a super pastor to replace their minister, their problems will be over. The governing body of the congregation, the board, council, etc., tends to see its primary role as a permission withholding body to say what cannot be done. In an active church, the governing body encourages creativity, innovation, steps of faith, and whenever at all possible, gives rather than withholds permission. New plans are met with arguments of why that will not work here. The emphasis on learning rather than doing. The typical member cannot call more than 5 people in the congregation by name. People are unusually critical about what is or is not happening. New members find it hard to gain a sense of belonging and to feel needed. All of these items exhibit unconcern, indifference, and lack of involvement. A mobilized person. A mobilized person is readily adaptable and responsive to the direction of the Holy Spirit. He is not set in his own selfish ways. He has prepared his spiritual vessel, his wineskin, to receive the new wine, new things God is doing. A mobilized person is God-dependent rather than self-dependent. He is spiritually rather than fleshly motivated. He is excited about the work of God and involved in the kingdom of God. A mobilized person is willing to act, even take risks of faith, and take responsibility for his actions. A mobilized person is stable, loyal, and instead of revenge in times of crisis, he seeks a solution. He is command-oriented rather than need-oriented. He does not manipulate and exploit others. He is compassionate, loving, and involved in and excited about the work of the kingdom. A mobilized people. Review the signs of a passive church given previously in this lesson. Think about the opposite of these signs. The opposite of each behavior describes a mobilized, motivated church. A mobilized church is spiritually renewed. A mobilized church is motivated, set aflame with love and compassion for the lost. It is composed of a group of people actively involved in fulfilling of the Great Commission. It has a kingdom rather than a denominational mentality. It is a worshiping, revived church filled with the demonstration of the power of God. Qualities of a mobilizer. Once there was a famous scientist named Sir Isaac Newton. He studied and recorded the natural law of motion. The first law of motion was that a body in motion tends to remain in motion, and a body at rest tends to remain at rest. This is true spiritually also. People will remain indifferent, unconcerned, and inactive unless motivated and mobilized for the work of the kingdom. This is where the ministry of a mobilizer comes in. A mobilizer is one who mobilizes others. But in order to do this, he must first be mobilized himself. A mobilized person then mobilizes others by example and encouragement rather than force and fear. A mobilizer is committed to the specific task of the Great Commission. He concentrates on concerns outside of himself and his own personal and selfish needs. He is not an organizational man. He is not a denominational man. He is a kingdom man. His purpose, goals, and objectives focus on the kingdom of God. A mobilizer equips others for the work of the ministry by challenging them with spiritual vision, grounding them in foundations of faith, and challenging them to spiritual reproduction. He helps people discover and release their potential without fear, feeling threatened by their spiritual growth and advancement in the kingdom of God. Actually, the spiritual leaders which God sets in the church as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all to be mobilizers. Their purpose is to equip others for the work of the ministry. See Ephesians 4:11 and 12. A mobilizer never views people as inanimate objects to be used to get something done. He knows that mobilization involves more than saying, "Do this," and having a person do it. He recognizes that other people are created in the image of God and not things to be used, even in the work of the kingdom. A mobilizer is courageous in the face of opposition and has a deep spiritual experience. His life has been touched by God's power and glory. He walks in integrity and maintains a close personal relationship with the Lord. Joshua, the man chosen by God to mobilize Israel to take to the Promised Land, is one of the best examples of a mobilizer. You will study more about him and the qualities of a mobilizer in chapter 14 of this course. Many believers are spiritually dead because they have dead men preaching to them. They are inactive, passionless, indifferent, and unconcerned. If you lack a burning heart, those you lead will lack it. A passionless religion will not put out the fires of the enemy raging across our world today. The best way to fight fire is with fire. As Elijah learned, the wood is not enough. The altar is not enough. Even our sacrifices are not enough. We must be touched by the fire of God. Numbers 16:46-48 records how Aaron was used by God to stand between the living and the dead, providing a bridge of life. This is what a mobilized person does. He stands between the dead, or passive, and the living, the active. He is used of God to mobilize believers to action. He carries a censer filled with the fire of God, igniting each life he touches with its flame. Many people are trying to lead God's people and do God's work with hearts that have never been truly set ablaze or hearts that have lost their flame. Can the fire that set the desert bush ablaze in the time of Moses set our hearts aflame until we are burning for God? Can the fire that Ezekiel saw depart stage by stage from Israel return to us today? Mobilization and evangelism. For what purpose are we mobilizing people? Why should we try to motivate a passive people? If people are comfortable in our church congregations and their needs are being met, why stir things up? We must be concerned with mobilizing spiritual resources because it is the only way the great spiritual harvest of our world can ever be reaped. We are mobilizing spiritual resources for the purpose of evangelism. There is a difference between mobilization and other approaches to evangelism. In most evangelistic programs, the center of attention is the gifted, or sometimes in the modern church, the professional evangelist. In this type of evangelism, the focus is on increasing the number of listeners. Advertisings, invitations, radio and television interviews, and many other means are used. Everything possible is done to broaden the impact of the evangelist's ministry. Nothing is wrong with these methods. It is important that we take full advantage of the gifted men known as evangelists, which God has set in the church. But to meet the challenge of the great end-time spiritual harvest that is upon us, we must assume a mobilized approach to evangelism. A mobilized approach to evangelism focuses on all believers, rather than just those with a specific ministry gift of evangelism. It seeks to multiply the number of converts by motivating each one of God's people to do the work of an evangelist. See 2 Timothy 4, 5. This type of mobilization is done within the biblical framework of the church. It is called body ministry, where each person assumes his position based upon his spiritual gift. Then the whole body functions in unity to achieve global objectives in harmony with that of the Great Commission. In mobilization for evangelism, we use every legitimate means available to reach every level of society, presenting the whole gospel to all men. The time for mobilization. In a natural army, troops are mobilized in time of war and or great need. Spiritually, this is a time of warfare. We are in the greatest battle ever for the hearts, souls, and minds of men and women throughout the world. This is a time of great need. We see it as we look at the spiritual harvest fields of the world, ready to be reaped, but with few laborers, working feverishly in the setting sun. Now is the time for the mobilization of God's people. As the prophet Micah said, "Mobilize, the enemy lays siege." Micah 5:1, the Living Bible. But in order to mobilize, we must return to God-commanded rather than need-oriented ministry. We must rely on God rather than self. Organization, cooperation, multiplying, doctrine, all of these are important, but only God can send the fire, the glory, and the revival that mobilizes his people. As a body without breath and life, so is a people of God who are organized, united, and doctrinally sound, but yet lack the breath of life of the Holy Spirit. If you rely on your education, you accomplish what education can do. If you rely on skills and hard work, you will obtain the results of your hard work and skills. When you rely on committees alone, you can get a lot done, but only what committees are capable of doing. But when you rely on God, you get what God can do. Human effort will never get the job done. The great end time harvest cannot be reaped by fleshly methods. Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? This work cannot be accomplished by manipulation or human might or power. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Many years ago, God gave a prophet named Zechariah a vision of a golden lampstand. The lamp furnished light through a bowl that received oil coming from a living olive tree. The lamp burned as long as the oil flowed. You cannot do God's work without the anointing of God continuously being channeled into your life. You must be attached to the living olive tree. As a fruit-bearing branch, you must be grafted into the vine. See John 15. This is divine motivation. This is sovereign mobilization. Jesus was touched by this mobilizing fire of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18. The first church was set ablaze by the power of Pentecost. Acts 2. David knew the power of the Spirit. 2 Samuel 23:2. Ezekiel testified to it repeatedly. Ezra 7:6. And Nehemiah 2:18 also felt the motivating, mobilizing forces of God when the hand of the Lord was upon them. The Apostle Paul knew it, 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22, and you can know it too.